point to where I ask that nearly every service, most definitely on Sunday morning. Now, I already know the answer before I ask. You're breathing, sucking air, you got trouble. David said, man that had borne the woman is full of trouble. Everything, and I don't even discourage you, but everything may be sailing fine this morning, but there's an afternoon coming. Exodus chapter 1. I have three places of scripture reading. Exodus chapter 1. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 16, or 26 rather, I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 26. Exodus chapter 1, verse 11. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities. You can see them there. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give you them to eat. They say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. All God wants from you is what you've got. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 basketfuls. He can do more with what's left over than what we got to start with. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Matthew chapter 26, verse 47. While he had spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, hello, trouble, you're my friend. He said, friend, wherefore art thou come? Jesus knew why he came. Jesus knew what he came to earth for. And Jesus knew it had to be accomplished. It had to be done. And so when Judas, a friend, that had walked with him 3.5 years came. He said, "Hello, friend. Go ahead and do what you got to do. Hello, trouble. You are my friend." Then came they, laid hands on Jesus and took him. Everybody here, look at somebody and say, "Don't be a hypocrite this morning. Worship with Pastor. He's got your number." Amen. I mean, trouble comes when you least expect it. Trouble comes at the most inopportune time. Have you ever noticed that? And many times when trouble comes into our lives, we get mad at God. Well, I know that I'm rattling the tree. We thank God, I'm serving you, I'm paying my tithe, I'm going to church, and if you're really God, you can stop this trouble in my life. And he could, if he wanted to. But why do you think you're having trouble? Because he's trying to do something with you. Hello. God in his omnipotent, all-knowing, knows how to allow things to come in our lives that will drive us to our knees, that will draw us closer to Calvary than we've ever been before. Amen. See, God in his all-knowing knows how to do that. The more I know God, the more I understand I'm lacking in knowledge about how God operates. He doesn't operate according to the physics of mankind. You see, God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. And so, therefore, when trouble comes, what God is saying, when trouble comes in our life, God is saying, just keep on walking. I'm teaching you how that the just shall live by faith. They shall walk by faith. If I really understand the sovereignty of God and understand that nothing moves, nothing breathes, nothing does anything without God's approval. You see, if I understand God is so sovereign, nothing happens in my life but what God hasn't allowed it to happen. And when God allows trouble to come my way, God is saying, I love you too much to leave you in the state of deadness that you're in. I love you too much to leave you upset in the state of lethargy that you're in. I love you too much to leave you seated in the place of indifference. So therefore, I'm going to allow a little trouble to come your way, and it's going to cause you to draw nigh unto me, because we understand that the just shall walk by faith. They shall live by faith. And when I understand that everything that happens to me happens according to the plan of God. Thank you for them one or two hand claps. You see, I got to understand. If I understand the sovereignty of God and I understand that nothing happens in your life but what God does in a night. Now you say, well, Brother Ogden, I'm about to lose my car. That ain't God's problem. You probably bought it out of the will of God anyhow. We do some silly things. Well, no, man, I do some silly things. You never do, but I do. So you've got to believe every test that you're going through, God is creating a testimony. God creating a testimony. You see, if you never had a battle, if you never had any trouble, if you've never been tested, you've never been tried, you don't have a testimony. But when you have come through the fire, when you have walked through the lion's den, or when you have gone through the Red Sea on dry land, or when you have eaten manna from heaven, when you eat angel food, brother, then you can say, hey, we fought a battle and we come out victorious in the name of the Lord. You see, if you never had any problems, how would you know God could solve them? So when trouble comes your way, I'm going to teach you a new principle this morning. When trouble comes your way, I want you to say, hello, trouble. You're my friend. You see, I'm getting... Hello, trouble. I want you to say it with me. Hello, trouble. You're my friend. You say, I can't buy that, Pastor, because trouble will draw you closer to God, or it will drive you from God. It'll do one of the two. If you look at it, has God behind the world? Are you allowing this? And you get mad at God, it'll drive you from God. But if you recognize that God is sovereign, that God knows everything, that God knows everything, and he loves you too much to allow the devil to destroy you, but he allows the devil to allow trouble to come your way, that you can look up to him and draw close to the bosom of the Father and say, hello, trouble, you're my friend. You're bringing me closer to God Almighty. Woo! Hello, trouble, you're my friend. You're my friend. You've got to believe that, you see. Recognize that trouble is your friend. There's something about trouble that changes you and molds you. You never come out of a problem the same way you went in. Never. If you live a trouble-free life, you might not repent of your sin. Hello? But trouble has a way of correcting you even when you don't feel like you need correcting. Hello? I said, trouble has a way of correcting you even when you don't feel. And the problem is you think, I'm doing everything right. The problem is you ain't doing everything right, and your pride makes you think you are. But God knows how to break your pride. Hello. Let me give a quick testimony right here. Just thought of it again. Thank you, folks, for praying for my daughter. She gave her heart and life back to God yesterday. Close to... Hallelujah. In my own life, when trouble comes, when it's all done, trouble has a way of drawing me closer to God. Hello? Amen. You see, you have to learn to handle disappointments. Look at somebody and say, you need to learn to handle your disappointments better. You be talking to one another before I leave. No matter of your position in life, disappointment comes. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your job. Preacher didn't tickle me this morning. You got to learn to handle your disappointments. You see, the primary reason people walk away from God is because life has left them incredibly disappointed and asking the question of God, why? Some of you kids are out in left field. Mine was not in left field. She'd come out of the ballpark. And you ask why? Now I'll be very, very honest with you. When it happened, I asked why, God? I put 34 years in preaching the gospel. I trained my children the word of God. I kept them in church. I done all that. And then I come to realize that, hey, everybody makes their own choices. I've been disappointed. But if I'll get a hold of the horns of the altar, God will turn the disappointment around into joy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See? It's not that people walk away because they don't love God. It's not even that they're mad at God. It's just in the middle of storms, they have asked, why? God, where are you? Hello? Don't look at me like, man, who's preaching to this morning. I'm preaching straight to you individually this morning. You see, you know how I can read you folks the good? Because I is one of you. You understand? I've been where you're at. I've sat in your seat. I've walked in your shoes. And I know where you're living at and what you're passing through. You see, in the middle of all of my trouble, I've been doing all that I know to do. God, why would you allow such things like this to happen in my life? And instead of trusting God in the middle of the storm, you've demanded an answer. Understand this one fault of this one thing of the Christian walk is a walk of faith. It is not one of God explaining something to you. Just because you demand God what you're doing, that won't give you spit. God doesn't have to answer. God said, you just keep walking it. And you just keep trusting me. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to fail you. I'm never going to walk away from you. I'm going to stay with you. I've got to believe that. I've got to believe that when trouble comes. You see, as a child of God, you've got to learn to handle your disappointments and understand life doesn't always work out the way you think it should. Some point your husband or your wife will fail you. The boss will fail you. The preacher will fail you. Your children will fail you. Your friends will fail you. I'm telling you, your job, your money, your doctor, your lawyer, your church. So why are you surprised when these things happen in your life? You know it's going to happen. You know somebody's going to say something to hurt you. So why get disappointed and say, hello, trouble? You're my friend. Hello, trouble. You're trying to get me close to God again. I've drifted away and I've kind of just sat down on my seat of ease and I've taken my comfort and hello, trouble, you trying to get me back. Where, instead of that, we get mad. But bless God, that's the way they feel. I'm going to go back no more. Halo spinning. We just get mad. I won't go back no more. I'll just stay where I'm at. Bless God, if they don't appreciate me no more than that. Just see how good they do without me. Well, they'll keep going. So instead of saying, why God, say, hello, trouble. You're my friend. You see, if you believe God is, how many believe God's sovereign? You believe that God is totally, absolutely, positively, without a shadow of a doubt, sovereign? You believe that? Then you must believe things happen for a reason in your life. The devil wants you to discourage you in your troubles, so you quit. But let me tell you, God has a purpose for the trouble and a purpose for you in the midst of the trouble. He doesn't cause your trouble or even bring trouble into your life. In fact, most of the time, you are the one that's responsible for the trouble. Look over somebody and say, now I know where it's coming from. But let's say you're completely innocent. You haven't done a thing to bring these things upon. In fact, I say that the devil who is making a mess of your life, and if you maintain the right attitude, if you'll maintain the attitude that, hey, this is not me. I'm not seeing. I've not transgressed. I've not done anything wrong. So this must be the devil. And if it's the devil, he's got God's authority to do it, because God's sovereign. God won't let nothing happen to me that he doesn't choose to happen. And if he is allowing the devil to allow this in my life, then I've got to say that it's of God. And if it's of God, I've got to look it in the face and say, hello, trouble. I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to act by faith. You see, some of you ain't shouting because I'm too close to home. I've got to say, if this is God, if it's sovereign, and he knows what he's doing, he's aligning it, I've got to trust him, Brother Johnny, in the middle of the problem. I've got to trust and understand that he knows exactly what I'm going to do. So when you find out people have been talking about you, behind your back, or when they walk away from you and leave you, you don't get discouraged. You see, one day people think you're wonderful, and the next day you're biting off Hollyfield's ear. I didn't say that. One day they think, oh, you're the grandest thing that there ever was that ever lived. And the next minute, they wouldn't give spit for you. Come on, somebody say amen. I remember a number of years ago, I had a church, and oh, man, they would just fall on me. Oh, you're the grandest, greatest thing that ever was. Oh, thank you for coming to our church. We just love you. We love you. And one day I was praying, and then God said, Tom, be careful. Them that are telling you that are the ones that are going to destroy you. So I got up in the pulpit the next time and told them that. Sure enough, 6 months later. But I said, hello, trouble. No, I didn't. I got to tell the truth. I'm behind the pulpit this morning. Got to tell it all the time. But I cried, I wept, and then I realized that God was driving me, allowing this to drive me till I'd get to the point that I would be willing to come to McKinney, Texas and start a church. And I understand now the problem. I understand how the difficulty is. The truth is, you'd better learn to be a God-pleaser rather than a people-pleaser, because people will always disappoint you. You see, if you maintain the right attitude, God will be able to do something great in your life. But if you take an old nasty man attitude, what you're going through, and then God's not going to be able to get any glory out of it. If you just eventually get out of it, you won't get any glory. But if you praise Him in the middle of the storm, lift His name up in the middle of havoc, I promise you, God will receive glory. And you can say, hello, trouble. You're my friend. You're what drove me closer to God than I've ever been before, you see. But if you'll hang on to God, hang in there with you, He'll even the score. Payday ain't on Friday. Payday ain't on Friday. Amen. You see, no matter what you're going through today, your situation is not unique. Somebody else is going through it. Did you know the one sitting next to you probably going through the same thing you're going through or something similar to it? You know that? Amen. They are. And so you're not the only one who's been disappointed or has had trouble that you've had to face today. So what do you do when life devastates you? What do you do when you're facing the most difficult situation in your life? What do you do when so much trouble comes into you? How many feel like that? So much trouble come into your life until you think you're going to die. And if you don't think you're going to die, you wish you could. You ever had those kind of problems? Come on, I know good and well I'm preaching to people this morning. I've tried to preach this message for 3 weeks and God wouldn't let me till today. So He knew who was going to be here today. Oh, if you've missed the last 3 weeks, look over at somebody and say, glory to God. I'm glad God wouldn't let Him preach it. What do you do when you fasted? You prayed. You placed your name on prayer chains from California to Tulsa up to, where is it in Florida? Pensacola. What do you do when you place your name on all of them? You've given your tithes, your offering. You've trusted God with all your heart, and the very opposite of what you're believing takes place. What do you do? What do you do when that takes place? What do you do when you ask God to heal your marriage and it gets worse? What do you do when you trusted God for your finances and now you're facing bankruptcy? What? The just shall walk by faith, live by faith, act by faith. Hello? Somebody say praise the Lord. You see, I believe with all of my heart God's sovereign. I believe He's so big, He will always take the tragedy that happens in my life and turn it into triumph. I said, I believe that. I believe that it always, 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 I believe He'll always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And even in the natural, when it looks like all is lost, I believe He will take what the enemy has meant to destroy us and to turn it around for our good. The devil meant to kill Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and God turned it around and won the king to God. He meant to destroy Daniel. God turned it around and the king gave his heart and his life to God. What you're in right now, God wants to take and turn it around and cause you to triumph in Christ Jesus. The devil wants to destroy you, but Jesus is going to raise you up. Hallelujah. The devil wants to kill you, steal and destroy, but Jesus says, I want to restore it. You see, I believe trouble. And I've only come to this conclusion in the last little bit. I'm teaching you folks something that I haven't always believed. I've always believed, and we got preachers that preach, you got trouble, you ain't living close to God.
Hello?
If you've got financial problems, you would be having them problems if you was living close to God. That's what they teach. If you was living close to God, you wouldn't be sick. That ain't true. That ain't true. So I've come to the conclusion that when problems happen, trouble happens, he's my friend because he's trying to work a testimony and to create a testimony, and I can stand up and say, I was nigh sinking up. I was nigh going under my third time when all of a sudden I called up on the name of the Lord, and he reached down with a strong hand and he picked me up and he set my feet on a solid rock again. Hallelujah. Where was I? You see, if it had been me and I knew Judas was going to betray me, I'd have shot him. I never would have made him and give him a position on my staff. Like if I knew one of my staff ministers was going to betray me, I'd fire him today. But that's true. That ain't the Pentecostal jerk, some kind of jerk. At least what? I ain't gonna shoot him, not farm. Jesus knew Judas was a thief. Jesus knew Judas was a thief. I took the bag away from him. How many of you are going to let a thief operate your cash register? Jesus said, hello, friend. Hello. Woo! You see, you don't steal money from God's treasure and all of that. The truth is, Jesus even knew about that, and he still left Jesus alone, or Judas alone. So what was wrong with this Jesus anyway? Let me say this. God does things so differently. I'm praying for rain, and God gives me 3 years drought. I pray God mend my marriage, and she gets meaner all the time. I help my kids, and they I just get off alcohol, get on dope. God heal my kids, they get thrown in jail. See, I don't understand God at all. God does things so much differently than I do them. But Jesus, as God, looked at his betrayer and said, hello, friend, do what you got to do. You see, God has a plan in everybody's trouble. God's got a plan for every problem you've got. God's got a plan for your kids, even when they're straight and you're praying for them. God's got a plan. It may be to cause you to get on your knees and to call out to the God of glory, and that it will bring you close to God. Then God can turn around and get a hold of the kids and bring them to God. See, God's trying to get you to burn some midnight oil, and you don't even want to turn a light on. Hello? You say, you're telling me trouble's my friend. I'm telling you, trouble is your friend this morning. It's your trouble, you see. Trouble builds character. It
I'm glad to have y'all home. You don't know how bad, how glad I am to have you home. But I had to find out every tree in the apple tree. Some of them's horse apples. Trouble has a way of making us see, hey, God was really good bringing me along. Trouble has a way of building character in you. Now, you know, everybody ain't perfect like your pastor is. And but it has a way of building character. You'll either kick the car door in, stick your fist through a wall, or you'll say, hallelujah. And see, by looking at you, I know most of you done stuck your fist through the wall. You done kicked in the car door. But it builds character. You see, if you've been a Christian very long, you know it can sometimes be a struggle to walk with God. Did I say that? Amen. There are times when it feels as though everything comes against you. People are against you. Your family criticizes you. People think you're crazy. But it's the trouble in your life that changes you and develops your character. When trouble comes your way, you find out what your character really is. You either kick a door in, or you stick your fist through the thing, or you stomp out. I don't care what you think anyway. We're going to do it my way. Now, there ain't nobody here that way, but if y'all see anybody this next week, if y'all see anybody next week that turns out to be that way, you tell them I preached this morning, will you? But if you're serving God, trouble marches in and you end up back at the bar, there's something wrong with your moral character. If trouble comes and you go back to sin, there's something wrong with your moral character. Thank you for those two or three hand claps. There's something wrong with you. Something wrong in your life. That's the reason I think the Baptists say they never was saved in the first place. Oh yeah, they were saved, but they wouldn't allow God to develop their character. They would not allow God to work in them that which He wanted to work. They got mad and they just walked off. When trouble comes your way, it'll either bring you closer to God or further away from God. You say amen? Am I right, congregation? Can you say amen? You see, the truth is trouble reveals your character flaws. You ever had something go wrong, got mad, cussed a few words, and said, oh God, I didn't mean to do that? Come on, now don't act like you're holy, 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 holy. You say, Brother Ogden, preachers don't preach like that you cuss. You don't cuss. You ain't supposed to. But when trouble comes and you cuss, there's a flaw in your character, and God's trying to strengthen that flaw that's in your character. That's the reason He's allowed it to happen. It's good preaching. Look over at somebody and say, He's doing a good job on you this morning. Let me make it clear, none of us do anything easy. Everything I do is always the hard way. My kids say, let me make my mistakes. I want to do it my way. I'm Burger King, have it your way. And that's our character. Can you say amen? You see, God has his own unique way. He knows exactly what will draw you to him. And if it drives you from him, then he's trying to show you that there's something wrong in your character and wrong in the way that you're living. Hello? You see, you've got to be broken. Most of us. Said, Brother Ogden, we come to this church this morning because we thought you were sophisticated, but you done bit the wrong door. Stick your fingers under your muscle shirt and say, bless God, man, I'm all right in my own. I don't need nobody. And some of you sitting out there saying, I don't need nobody. But you've got to be broken. Remember the scripture I read? Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he fed the multitude. He prayed over it. He blessed it. He broke it, multiplied it. And Jesus uses these very same principles when he's working in your life. Oh, I don't like it. I don't always like it. But that's what he's doing. First, he blesses you when you get saved. Woo! Hallelujah. I can run through a troop and jump over a wall. And after you've lived for God for a couple of weeks, hey, fun's gone out. Come on. And when you receive it, you see, you were glad when you got saved, you're on your way to heaven. Then he begins the process of breaking you. He begins to break self-sufficiency in your life in order to teach you that you've got to trust him and you've got to depend on him. I am the anchor in the time of the storm. I am your very present help in the time of need. He's trying to teach you, trust me. Trust me. And so therefore he breaks you. He's broke some of you and you're going back to drinking. He's broke some of you and you're going back to cussing. He's broke some of you and you're going back to immorality. But he's still calling you back because he wants to put you back together again and he wants to bless you. Hallelujah. You'll see, when you first come to the Lord, your priorities are all out of order. You think your priorities are your job, your money, or somewhere along the line, going to church on Sunday. But God says your priorities are out of order. So I'm going to allow a little trouble to come in your life. So I'm going to take and break you just a little bit. Oh, thank God for the breaking. Losing your job is going to allow even a little more breaking in your life to take place. It's the breaking. In the breaking, you'll find out who you really are and who you're not. You'll find out who he is. It's in the breaking you'll find out that you're nothing and you're going to have his help or you're not going to make it at all through this life. Maybe you've been tempted to take authority over every demon in hell in order to stop. You know, we walk around these cliches. I command you, Satan. I command you, Satan. In the name of the Lord. Boy, we got all the cliches right. Got all the beat right. We sing it and shout. Ooh, hallelujah. I command you, Satan. My God, we got him on the run. And then hell breaks loose Monday. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can't make it without his help. When God is doing a work in your life, he doesn't move on your behalf until you finally figure out no matter what you do on your own power, it isn't going to help him help you. I don't think I can. That wasn't in my notes. Until you reach the end of your own strength, you'll never see God move in your life. Until I come to the end of me, God can't do anything. As long as I'm working in my own strength, you see, you're not sufficient. Look at somebody and say, you ain't sufficient. Look at somebody and say, you ain't big as you think you are. Look at somebody and say, you ain't the hot shot you thought you was. Now look at them and say, you need God. You need God. Come on, look at them and say, you need God. And he always shows up at the last minute. How many can say amen? He always shows up. God never shows up early. But he's breaking you. He's trying to teach you that, hey, I am your sufficiency. I'm all that you need. I'm what you need. Amen. All these other incidentals that you're trusting in, all these other things you're putting your faith in your money, in your car, in your job, in your home, all these things are not your strength. I am your sufficiency, and I'm breaking you, trying to teach you to trust me. Hello, trouble. Really, he's your friend. Trouble brings you blessings. Do you know that? How many has ever had a problem, prayed through, and really got blessed? You never would have prayed through if you hadn't had the problem. You'd have never prayed through if you hadn't had the trouble. And so therefore you wouldn't have been blessed. So trouble brings blessing. When Jesus went to the garden to pray, he was at his lowest point. The pressure and the isolation in Jesus' life was so great. He sweat great drops of blood. That's pressure. But he went to the garden for one reason, not to get out of what he was supposed to do, but to pray until his will was completely submerged in the will of God the Father. You know, he had to go to the cross. He knew that. So the question is this, and I want to ask you, will you allow yourself to be broken, or are you going to stand there like a totem pole? Will you allow God to break you? Will you allow God to break you that he might bless you? You will either turn to something or someone when trouble comes. The question is, are you going to turn to the Lord and allow him to be your strength? Or are you going to turn to a substance? Hear me. You may feel that you're being crushed today. But I want you to know, sometimes the master potter needs to crush the clay. You feel like you're under pressure today? See, if you're under pressure today, understand it's the will of the Father that you're under the pressure you're under. You say, well, Brother Ogden, it ain't the will of the Father that my wife divorced me, or that my kids are on alcohol and I've got fight. That is not the will of the Father. You've got to understand that God is sovereign. God knows what he's doing exactly in your life, and he knows how hard-headed some of us are. He knows some of you have got to have a stick of TNT loaded under you, and it's got to overwhelm you, or you'll never understand that God's trying to work in your life. Are you listening to me this morning? Amen. So when God allows this to come down, it's the potter that's breaking the clay. He's taking the clay and he's crushing it all over again. It isn't what he wants it to be yet. He tried to do it here, and you rebelled against that. And so before you backslid, he allowed the pressure to be lifted. But now he's trying to get you from this point up to this point over here. And the only way he can do it is allow a crushing. He breaks the clay all over again, and he rolls it, and he puts it back on his wheel again, and he begins to turn it, and because he's trying to make a beautiful vessel out of you, and with a beautiful testimony to give to a lost and dying world. Amen. You see, you got to be broken. Hello, friend. You got to do what you got to do. When Jesus looked at Judas and called him friend, Jesus could see beyond this day. Jesus knew it was Friday, but he knew Sunday was coming. You didn't really comprehend what I said. Jesus, when he came to this place of being betrayed by his friend, it was Friday, but he knew Sunday was coming. He knew he was going to get up. You may be being crushed now. You may be being put through the furnace now. You may be in the lion's den now. But understand, a victory is on its way. It's coming. Hold on. Hang in there, baby. It'll be over with in a little while. That's what Jesus is really trying to say. Hang in there. I know it looks bad now, being crucified now, but I'm going to get up Sunday morning. Hey, I may be going through trouble right now, but I know I'm going to come out. I said I'm going to come out. I said I know I'm going to come. I've read the end of the book, and the book ends with two words that I totally disagree with. And if you'll read it in Revelation, it says the end. But that is not the end. It's the beginning, because I live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever again. You see, so I look trouble in the face and I say, hello, friend. You're here to do me hurt. You mean to destroy me, trouble. But I want you to know something. I'm not living by what I see. I'm not living by what I feel. I'm living by faith. I'm walking by faith. I'm acting by faith. I'm doing by faith. Everything I'm doing by faith. Are you listening to me? And when trouble comes, you just kiss him and say, hello, trouble. Go ahead and do what you got to do. My God's going to bring me through victorious. My God's sovereign. My God's never failed me. Let me ask a question. How many here has God ever failed? I didn't think there would be any takers. If God has never failed you and his record holds true, what makes you think he's going to fail you where you're at right now? What makes you think he's going to... He is not going to fail you. Take it upon the authority of the preacher's word. And if you don't believe the preacher, believe the word of God. When thou passest, I believe I read it said, when thou passest through the waters, they'll not overflow you. When you passest through the burning, it's not going to burn you. Come on, I believe I read, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I believe that I read that I'm a conqueror and more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I believe and I read soon and very soon he's going to come and take me out of this world. Come on, I think I read it. And if I can't believe anything else, I can believe the book. Now I want you to know some of your passion through trouble. And I know you are. I'm through. I know you're passing through trouble. Some of you are stuck in your quagmire of sin. You've been out last night sinning. You may have been sinning even this morning. But you've been out sinning all week. Now you've got trouble. Now you're facing something you've never faced before. You're wondering, how do I get out of it? It isn't a matter of how you get out of trouble. How do you trust him to help you and to bring you through the problem you're in right now?